Reading from Genesis 19, 12 to 29, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. The two men sent to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Sue, thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us through this old, old story. Help us to hear what you are saying to us and to respond to it. We ask in your name. Amen. I expect all of you have been following the news, the story of Shamima Begum. She was the girl who left Britain. At the age of 15, she went out to join ISIS. She became a bride of someone from ISIS, was pregnant, two children lost, and she wants to come back to Britain for her baby's sake. Very, very strong opinions. Should she be allowed back or not? In fact, since I've written the talk, the British government have just revoked her citizenship, we've been told. I've heard some very, very strong opinions on this subject. People talking about mercy or judgment, love or justice, forgiveness or punishment, welcome
or exile.
And it's the same in our debate about God. Is God a God of love or a God of justice or both? God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment. We spend a lot of time preaching about a God of love, but do we also preach a God of judgment? And today's passage, we see God's mercy and we see his judgment. We see mercy given to Lot and his family, and we see judgment to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a really serious warning in this passage that sin will not be tolerated by God forever. Sin will be punished. God is just and fair, and evil will be punished. So to put in context this story, we're looking at the life of Abraham. At the midweek, we've thought about the call of Abraham. I remember preaching on the choices he made as to where he went and where his nephew Lot went. And we learnt that Lot chose the easy option to go and live in the plains of Sodom. We then heard about Abraham's and the covenant, how God promised him two things, land and offspring. We heard about circumcision. And then last week, Neil was preaching on the promise to Abraham of a son. And you may remember that three visitors turned up unexpectedly to Abraham and Sarah in their tents at Mamre. One seems to be the Lord in disguise, and the other two were angels. And then later in chapter 18, Abraham goes and sees Sodom down on the plain, and God tells him in advance, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham pleads. He said, but God, if there are just 50 righteous people there, don't destroy it. Their sin is great, says God. So Abraham says, what if there are only 45 or 40 or 30 or 20? And the chapter finishes with God agreeing, if there are 10, just 10 righteous people, he will not destroy Sodom. But not even 10 righteous people can be found there. So we now reach chapter 19, and those two angels, those angelic beings that visited Abraham and Sarah, go to Sodom. Lot is by the gate there, and he knows the reputation of the town, and for their safety he says, come in, come in, and he welcomes them into his house and feeds them. But the men of Sodom come knocking on the door, intent on homosexual rape. And the sin in Sodom that was so great, the sin was the homosexuality in practice. It wasn't the fact they may have felt homosexual, it was the fact that they put it into practice. They wanted to attack and rape those men. Sin. But the law of hospitality was so great that Lot refuses to give up his visitors, and rather horribly, he offers his daughters instead. But the men of Sodom try and enter, and then the two angels strike the townfolk blind. And then we get to chapter 12, where we are at the moment. So these two angels say to Lot, you have got to get out at once. We're going to destroy this city. And they say to him, gather up your family. It's a bit like Noah and the ark. Gather up your family. Get them out of here. We're going to destroy this place. God gives warning of judgment. It wasn't unexpected. He warns them. Lot has got a wife and he's got two daughters who are both engaged. But when he tells their fiancés, they just think he's joking. If you look at verse 14 and 15, they just laugh. They think he's not serious. How often do we take very lightly warnings of destruction and judgment and just laugh it off? But time is going on. The night is coming to an end. It's now dawn. And the angels are saying to Lot, hurry up,
take your wife and daughters, verse 15, and get out. Leave evil behind. Judgment is coming. Again, it's a warning for us that God, that Jesus is going to come back one day. There will be a second coming. There will be a final judgment. But we don't know when. We don't know when we're going to die. And so again, that reminder to sort things out with God. Don't leave it to your deathbed, because some of us don't know when our deathbed is going to be. It'll be too late to flee then. Lot is still hesitating. I have never come across somebody so slow. But it's like us, isn't it? We linger. We procrastinate sometimes. Lot lingers. And the angels literally take him by the hand and they drag him. They drag his wife, Lot, and his daughters out of the city. And one of the nicest words in the whole of this chapter are in verse 16. It says, "For the Lord was merciful to them." The Lord was merciful to them. God is merciful to his people. He provides a way out of trouble. But we do have to cooperate. We do need to put one foot in front of the other and leave and go along with God. And they very specifically say, don't look back. It's so easy to linger. Just another day, just another moment. It doesn't matter. I'll sort that out with God next week or next month or in the new year. Get out, hurry up, leave evil behind and flee. So Lot, who is slowly being dragged out of Sodom for his own good, can't even be bothered to run far away. And so he asks permission to just stop nearby at a town called Zoar. And again, why is he so reluctant to go, to flee? But God is merciful. God is merciful. He lets Lot stop there. However, his wife looks back. Verse 26, "But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt." The place of Sodom is somewhere near where the Dead Sea is now, and near the south of the Dead Sea, there is a rock pillar there, which people call Lot's wife. And apparently you can go there and see it, and they say that's the pillar of salt, that's Lot's wife. Some of the very earliest writers, people like Josephus, used to refer to this rock pillar and call it Lot's wife. Why did she turn round? Was she longing for the life she left behind? When we teach about repentance, we talk about turning around and facing God, not our sins. She turned round, she turned back. She was like expressing longing for that way of life, and so she becomes a pillar of salt. And then the heavens open, lightning comes down, fire comes down, the sulfur burning down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Supernatural physical forces and events. As a geographer, I wonder, is this describing an earthquake or a volcanic eruption? Was it very dramatic lightning that set fire to the bitumen that's in the ground there? Whatever happened, Sodom and Gomorrah are completely destroyed. We're told the whole plain was destroyed. We're told the vegetation was also destroyed. The only people who survive are Lot and his two daughters. At the end of the chapter, beyond the bit that we read today, it tells us how Lot's daughters have been tainted by living in Sodom for so long amongst evil people. And because they've lost their fiancés without husbands, they conspire to get their father Lot drunk, they sleep with him, and they give birth to sons. One's called Moab, becomes the leader of the Moabites. The other is called Ben-Ammi, the leader of the Ammonites. And throughout the Old Testament, we hear how the Moabites and the Ammonites were a real thorn in the side for the Israelites. And then we come to Abraham, back to Abraham again in verse 27. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. This is where he had done that pleading. God, if there are only 50, if there are only 45, if there are only 40, right down to 10. But God had not even found 10 righteous people, and so destruction followed. I love that little word, remembered. First, again, it says, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, it says, he remembered Abraham. He remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out. God remembers Abraham. He's heard his prayers for his nephew Lot. He rescues Lot. So this story is mentioned twice in the New Testament, at least. It's referenced by Peter, and it's referenced by Jesus. So in 2 Peter 2, St. Peter is talking about God condemning Sodom and Gomorrah. It talks about God rescuing Lot, a righteous man. And then Peter writes, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. So Peter reminds us God knows about rescuing the godly, but he also reminds us that there will be punishment on the day of judgment. In Luke 17, Jesus warns the disciples again about the kingdom of God and destruction coming. And Jesus says it was just the same in the days of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down. And Jesus says it'll be just like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. No one should go back for their possessions. No one should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. So we've come to the end of a fairly unsavory chapter in Genesis, but there are lessons to be learnt from this story. The first one is that evil will be punished. God will judge and there will be punishment. Evil does not go unchecked forever. There will be punishment. Sometimes you see punishment happening in this life, but be sure it will certainly happen when Jesus comes again. But we also learn God is merciful. God protects and saves his people. God is merciful. He has mercy. And the people that belong to him, he protects them. He saves them. He sends an angel to rescue them and pull them literally out of harm's way. It's another lesson about not lingering, not staying close to evil, because we can get tainted by it. There's also that thing about avoiding evil, flee immorality, we're told. And finally, the don't look back. There's something wrong about lingering and looking back at how things were, longing maybe for a previous way of life. Don't look back. So back to where I started with Shamima Begum and Isis. God will judge. God will show mercy to people who seek him. He will destroy evil. But there's also that warning that we be tainted if you live among evil people for a long time. If you spend time in Sodom, you end up getting corrupted by living there. God is love. God is merciful. And God is just and fair. It's quite a lot to listen to. Let's just be quiet now and think, what is God saying to me? And then Mark will come and bring us our final hymn. Let's just be quiet and reflect. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. Help us to flee what is evil and wrong. Help us not to become tainted. Help us to call out to you, and we thank you for that reminder that you are a merciful God who protects your people. And Lord, if there are things we need to sort out, help us not to leave it till it's too late. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.